Do you believe in the providence of God? So what is the providence of God? That means that God knows and knew before you got here today that you were going to be here. Are you listening? Not only that, but he prepared for you something knowing you would be here today. Now, if I prepare a meal for you, I can't make you eat it. I can just offer it. Amen? Say, he's getting it something. Say it to each other. Tell me, he's getting it something. Thanks. I've got to clean my glasses. Do you know when I was a young man what my vision was? I didn't know this was possible. I had 2013 vision. I thought 2020 was the best. No, I had 2013 vision. Now I have 1320. Something about, well, there you are. Something about age. I don't know what it is, but it affects things in your body. I preached a message one time about Joshua when one of his men took some secret things. This has nothing to do with the message, by the way. One of his men took the secret things from Jericho, and the man's name was Achan. I'll preach it again sometime or something, variants of it. And the title of the message was, "Oh, My Achan's Back." Anybody that's got a couple years on them understand that? Yeah. Good. Praise God. Victoria, we're honored to have your mother here today. Have her stand, please. We're glad to see you. In Puerto Rico. Hallelujah. Bless you. Praise God. Let's get into the Word this morning, okay? Now listen to me. There are all kinds of obstacles and there are all kinds of things that try to block you from the presence of God and from the blessing that God has for you in church. How many would agree with me this morning, unitedly, that we're going to rebuke and remove anything, any obstacle in our life or in this house that would try to keep me or you from receiving the Word this morning? If you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Then lift your hands right now and say, Father God, in Jesus' name, let the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we'll ask you, Holy Spirit, to come into our house, to come into our bodies, our minds and spirits, and indwell us as you do with your power and with your glory. And we rebuke any contrary spirit. In the name of Jesus, it's done. Hallelujah. We have a free reign in here right now. Somebody give God the praise. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 in the NASB. The Word of God says, "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and your flesh.'" Now this is the same guy that Saul for several years found and taunted and falsely accused and took him from a hero's status down to a wanted man. He wasn't guilty of anything. But after the death of Saul, God freed Israel to be Israel again. It was divided into two nations. 10 of the north tribes of Israel, and that's of the 12 sons of Jacob. 10 of those north tribes was called Israel. The southern two tribes was called Judah. But God was putting back together a nation that had been divided because of a man that had divided attention. If you have a divided attention in your life, you don't have a complete connection with God. Right now, I'm going to tell you. Now, I'm not here to try to change your mind or force you or guilt you. I'm just trying to tell you that you will not experience the presence of God until you're united with God. Amen? That's not a criticism of anyone. That's just a fact and statement. When you're united with God, it's not how righteous you are. In fact, your self-righteousness can get odorous. That's another word for stink. But your righteousness, the holiness of God, your humility, your bowing to Him will cause a fragrance to come into the presence of God that He will abide. He will come into your presence. He will live in you and through you. But without that unity, you don't have anything. David had it. He had it when Saul died, when Saul lost his life and took his life, in fact, because of his divided attention to God. The divided Israel was starting to come together now. And all 12 of the tribes asked him first to be the king of Judah. A few years later, I believe it was 7 years and 6 months after that, then Israel came, and for 40 years, at the age of 30 to the age of 70, he ruled Israel united. This is the beginning of that unification. There's power in unity. Are you listening? Now, when I pray for unity in this church, I'm not praying that we all hold hands and sing Amazing Grace. I'm talking about when you have unity with God. When you have unity with God and stop divided attentions and stop letting things, not because you want to, but because of things that come into our life, and we have a tendency to listen to voices. We have a tendency to listen to people. We have a tendency to listen to circumstances and let that circumstance, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. And let that circumstance overrule the power of God through the logic of humanity. God isn't logical. He's certainly not logical in relationship to our humanity. So whatever you think about God is probably wrong, unless it's love and mercy and grace and majesty to God. They all came together, the 12 tribes now. They're saying, you were always part of us. It's strange that they were trying to kill him prior to this, but they saw. I'm going to tell you something. When you live your life for Jesus, it doesn't matter what people think about you if you really, really are serving Jesus. It doesn't make a flip what people think about you or their opinion of you. Now, if you're living a divided life, their opinions are warranted. Their judgment is warranted, but not when you're living for Jesus. When you're living for Jesus, you don't have to worry about, am I accepted or rejected? You don't have to be concerned about what does this person think about. You don't have to look at this is the greatest thing about being united with Christ. You don't have to present yourself to be righteous so people think you are. It's God who knows. And it's God who rewards. And it's God who will always reward righteousness and always reward holiness. If you can keep your mind away from the voices that in every instance are antichrist. The Bible tells us that in the last days there will be spirit, an antichrist spirit that comes in the world. There will be people that calls themselves Messiah and righteous. Well, they might not just stand up and say, I'm Jesus, but they'll portray an image of righteousness that causes you to infer that those people have some special anointing. I'm going to tell you, the greatest anointing on any man that ever lived on this earth was anointing of humility and bowing and brokenness before Jesus Christ. That's who he was before the Father. David was that kind of man. Yes, he failed. Yes, he made mistakes. Yes, he caused Israel great pain in the adulterous affair with Bathsheba. But he didn't stay down when he fell down. And if there's anybody in this room that hasn't fallen down someplace in your walk with Jesus, you're dead and don't know it. Well, not me. Praise God, I've lived for Jesus since I was 5 years old. You're nuts. You've said things or done things that are against the will of God. You may have gossiped. You may have had criticism. You may have hated. You may not have forgiveness. You may have done something in our self-righteous actions that caused somebody else to fall, and that's murder, and you're guilty of murder. We all need a Savior. All of us. David was that humble man. He bowed before God. Previously, verse 2, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel in and out. Oh, what a different story. But David didn't say, oh yeah, now you like me. He didn't do that at all. He was a humble man. He just listened to what they had to say. You will shepherd my people Israel. That's what the Lord said. They said, we knew that. He said that you would be our shepherd. And you will be a ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel, verse 3, came to the king at Hebron and with them. Did I black out there for a second? Sorry, I thought I fainted. Thought I'm standing straight up and thought I'd passed out. It's scary, I'm going to tell you. Where did my voice go? So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David and king of Hebron and King David over Israel. So I'm reading, I'm dyslexic too, on top of not being able to know where I'm at. And King David made a covenant with them before the Lord at Hebron. Then they anointed King David over Israel. He was 30 years old, he became king. He reigned 40 years, 7.5 years for Judah, and 30 years over all of Israel. Now listen to this, verse 6. Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites. You see, Jerusalem was an enemy of Israel at that time, the Jebusites. And he had, listen to me, he had a mountain, a storm that he had to go through in his life in order to have a promise from God. How many believe Jerusalem is God's property today? I don't care on the mount, the tomb on the mountain. I don't care about the baloney that the Muslims say. The Muslims are a bunch of Johnny come lately, and Muhammad was a pervert, and he had a false doctrine from hell, and he has indoctrinated millions of people to believe that he was right. There's only one right, and that's God. No other. Allah doesn't exist. Well, you need to respect them? Do you think David respected the Philistines? There's no difference. If something raises its voice against Jesus Christ, it's an enemy of God. I don't have to worry about God defending himself. I don't have to worry about God protecting me. God's God, amen? Verse 6, now the king and all of his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, and they said to David, you shall not come here, but the blind and the lame will turn you away. Listen to the voices you're listening to today. Voices that are so religious that just melt all over you, but they're so evil, they're from the pit of hell. Voices that try to tell you criticism of God, criticism of the church, criticism of people. I found out something in my life, and I'm going to get sweeter in a minute, but I found out something in my life that's true. I don't have the right privilege or the ability to criticize one of you for what you're doing. God will take care of you. My job is to love you and sustain you and lift you up and see you change from this to this in God. That's your job too. Our job is a job of acceptance. What if God let us sit by him on the throne? I would say, not that one, God. And finally, somebody would replace me and look at me and say, uh-uh, not that one, God. And I'd be out of a job. I'm glad God's mercy endures forever. I'm glad God saved me. And I'm glad God can let me see the rough and see what the potential is and help me as a shepherd to lead you from here to here and then celebrate the glory of God in your life. That's what He wants from all of us. So they came to the Jebusites, and the inhabitants said this, "But the blind and lame will turn you away, thinking David cannot enter here." You see, this is, let me tell you, you know the title of the message today? Four of you do. Write in, text us, give us a word, and I'll tell you what it is. How many want to know what the word is today? Good. Then the word is this. Let me look. Well, I've got two titles. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. You don't know the subtitle? And same four. No substitution. You can figure this out as we go. The Jebusites thought they had heard, they had gained all this knowledge. The Word of God says that we come closer to the end of time, that men will have a hunger for knowledge, rejecting the Word of God. We are there today. We're not only there today in the world, we're there today in the church. David can't enter here. They had a bunch of artificial intelligence. Nevertheless, regardless of their intelligence, regardless of their artificial intelligence, what they heard, the Bible says, nevertheless, anyway, when the devil comes to come to you and tries to tell you, and he does constantly, he tries to, listen to me, when Jesus, when the Word of God, when the prophets and the apostles and the preachers said this, that Satan comes with one agenda to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is a process in your life. If he can steal your joy, he can kill your influence. And when he kills, to steal, to kill, and then when he kills your influence, he'll destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't get your eyes on Christ and understand the only power and source that you have is not someone else, but Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And that alone. Listen. Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion. That's the city of David. David said on that day, whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him reach the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul, though through the water tunnel. Therefore, they say, the blind or the lame shall not come into this house. He said, the ones you say will destroy us won't have anything to do with us. So David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. It went from the Jebusites' town to Jerusalem. It went from Jerusalem to the city of Zion. And it went from the city of Zion to the city of David. What happened was there was a process of ownership that David took when he destroyed the enemy. And God has, listen to me, He has a process of ownership for you to have victory in your life when you first confront your enemy, and then you destroy your enemy, and then you take power over your enemy. It's a process that God gives every believer in this house. And if you don't listen to that process and you don't follow that process, you're listening to artificial intelligence that's raised itself above the Word of God. There is no power. There is no word. There is no defeat in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, that David built his house there. And he became greater and greater, for the Lord God of hosts was with him. Let's go down to chapter 5, verse 17. Then the Philistines heard that they had appointed David king of Israel. All the Philistines went up to seek out David. Now look at this. We read too fast. I've told you that for going on 16 years now. Look up there. Look at the fourth word. What is it? Artificial intelligence. I actually talked to someone not last year, and they told me something so stupid about the Word of God, I couldn't believe it. I said, where'd you get that? And they said, Google. Google can't lie. They have to tell the truth. Really? Do you understand? Listen to me. Artificial intelligence. Do you understand how sneaky and diabolical the devil is? We do to a point. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil has he's invaded children's cartoons. You can't watch a show today on television that doesn't have the dark side of supernatural in it, but you don't see the power and glory of God in them. Evil good and good evil. You can't turn on the news without seeing someone on an issue that is against the Word of God. They'll report the issue, but they won't. They'll bring someone that has a counter idea to it, because that's called fairness in news. That's not fairness in news. That's biased news. And that's the enemy trying to use artificial intelligence, what he thinks he wants you to think about Jesus Christ. And we see artificial intelligence that's infected America today to the point that the church doesn't even have the guts to stand up and say sin is sin. But sin is sin. But grace is grace, and mercy is mercy, and love is love, and forgiveness is universal to anyone who comes under the flow of Calvary's blood. Are you listening to me? They heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, and all the Philistines went up to seek out David. They were going to destroy him. They were going to kill him. They had sent out their intelligence. They'd sent out their people. They'd sent out everything that they did, and they gathered that information, and they told their people, no problem. We're going to take care of him. When the Philistines heard this, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard it, he went down to the stronghold. They used to call those prayer closets where I'm from. What in the world's a prayer closet? Something you've got in your house that you're not using. How many have a closet that is so full of junk that you're afraid to open the door besides us? Remember what I told you about your pastor and his wife that helps pastor this church and our children. If you come to my house, and you're welcome, and you walk through the kitchen and go to the garage, which is sometimes a disaster, there's a sign right above the door. And it says this to my family. Now remember, as far as everyone knows, we're a normal family. That's what it says. Sometimes you have to go to your stronghold. Do you hear me? You have to find a place, because the Spirit of God's in our stronghold. So he went to a stronghold. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Then look at this, the third word. What's the third word say? Then David what? Inquired of the Lord. Now let me tell you what, this is real intelligence. Are you listening? That's real intelligence, when you inquire of the Lord. If you're listening to me, look up here at me and listen to me. If you're listening to me, say amen.
Amen.
Artificial intelligence, everything in our world today is tainted by the diabolical plan of Satan. And when I say that, I'll guarantee you there will be 1,000 people write me and say, you're nuts. You think there's a devil behind every bush, and you think Satan's behind everything. Anything that lifts its voice against the deity of Jesus Christ and the glory of God and the oneness of God, that He alone, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is God, anything that raises its voice against that is of the devil. Your favorite show, if it propagates homosexuality, is of the devil. Your favorite program, if it says adultery and kids living together in sin, and the newest rage today is women loving women bigger than anything else, that there's some kind of unity between women sexually, that's a sin from hell, and it'll ruin you, it'll destroy you. Pastor, why don't you preach straight today? Well, I will. Just stick around. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not making it difficult. I have a way out. I'm going to show you the way out. It's an easy way out for us, but God can help us. So David inquired of the Lord. He said, I want real intelligence. I want count-on intelligence. How many wants count-on intelligence in your life? He said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Verse 19, will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So David came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, now listen to this. This is David talking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You listening? He said this, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. He's saying this, God came in like a flood and destroyed my enemies. The Word of God says when the enemy comes in like a what? That God will build a standard up. Guess what happens to all that water that's pent up and God goes, I'm going to send it back. It becomes a counter flood then. The enemy's got to do with something, with everything he brings against you, and God says, I'm going to bring it back on the enemy. Are you listening to me? To all of you that are living this substandard, I'm just trying to get through, God, I hope I can make it this week. Life, don't understand that you've got a power so great in you that God will cause you to live in the valley of Baal Perazim. In the valley of the flood of the enemy. He'll wash the enemy's traces away from you. Go up, for I'll certainly give the Philistines into your hand. So God came to Baal Perazim and defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like breakthrough of water. Waters. Therefore he named that place Baal Perazim. They abandoned their idols. Oh, this is a good part. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. They abandoned their idols. The enemy gave up all of their false, all of their artificial intelligence. All those idols told them, this is what will happen. You'll win. They'll be defeated. They were already counting cars and houses they were going to steal from the Philistines, from the Israelites. But the Bible says they abandoned their idol. You know what? Artificial intelligence doesn't have any place to go when it fails. You have real intelligence that cannot fail. Therefore, he named the place Baal Perazim. But they abandoned their idols, so David and his men carried them away. Okay, here's one. when the devil comes in like a flood and God reverses it on him, and you've decided to live a life of holiness before God, not compared to anyone else, not the old days, not the old time religion or the new time religion, not the contemporary, not the Republicans or Democrats or independents. God's none of those things. He is holy, and his holiness has never flicked a change ever. There's no shadow of change in God. When you choose Jesus, he chooses you. When you ask for help from the Holy Spirit, you're not in a battle trying to survive. He protects you. He provides you. Well, I haven't seen God do anything. Wait a minute. You're worse. No, you can't be worse than Izzy. When he gets in the car with me, Papa, are we at Dollar General yet? What is Dollar General? That's where everything exists. I mean, I'm not even out of the driveway. You pray and walk out and go, okay, God. Okay, God. By noon, it's okay, God. By noon, it's okay, God. Don't tell me you don't do that. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He'll never fail you. They carried their idols away. They picked up the idol of fear. They picked up the idol of hatred. They picked up the idol of unforgiveness. They picked up the, I'm going to tell you the stuff that's in the church. The idol of gossip, the idol of criticism, the idol of self-righteousness. They picked all those things up. And they carried them away. They burned them. They got rid of them. Now listen to this. You've had victory in your life. Well, I don't like the way he's preaching this morning. I bet you don't. I bet you don't. And I had to study this before I preached it, so I went through the oots and ouches already of me. But I'm going to tell you something about this man of God right here. I am determined in my frailty and in my humanity and in my faults and in my wrong, I'm determined to do everything I can right before God's eyes and care less about what man says. Do you hear me? That's why I can do this. That's why I can say that I refuse to live in the guilt of sins forgiven, and I refuse to let you. Don't tell me what you've been or what you've done or who you don't. I don't care. I mean, I love you. I only care about you right now. Come here, Riley. Hurry. Get up here, girl. I love you right now. I can't see the Riley of yesterday. There's nothing there. I can't. But I can love the Riley of right now. Right now. I don't care what. I can't go into yesterday. It's intangible. Your yesterdays don't. I know you don't like to get in front of people. Thank you for doing that. Listen to me. I can't and I won't try to embrace your past. I don't care about your past. I can't embrace your past. I can remember where God's brought you, Wendolyn. But all I see is right now. I cannot see yesterday, Amy. Scotty, I can't see yesterday, or Tara. I can only see right now. And right now, Ron, I can love you now. That's my job. God takes care of your past. He removes it. In fact, you don't have one. With him. So you got everything going good and everything's right, and all of a sudden here comes the same old devil with the same old attack. Thought I conquered this. You only conquer each battle until Jesus comes. But you don't have to start all over with Jesus. Listen to this. Now the Philistines came up once again. Say again. I like that again because Dr. Gorman never, ever pronounced it the way I did. He was New Orleans, and their A's are long, and it was a gain, which is more proper than again. Once again. And I like to sound like Dad, even though I'm not him. And spread themselves out in the valley of Rephidim. Ooh! The enemy came right back to a place of defeat. That's the same place that God caused. He said, I'm going to hit them like a flood and wash them away. The enemy is, say this, the big red S on the enemy's chest is not for Superman, it's for stupid. I never heard that till Pastor Matt told me that. We were going to buy this church and it was a mess, wasn't it? It smelled bad. None of this was here. 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 Just a big stinky room. And I don't know. Pastor Matt Meadows said, Pastor, I used to think that big red S on your chest was Superman. I'm starting to think it's for stupid now. God gave us this house. But see, I was relying on artificial intelligence. They came right back to the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go directly up, circle around behind them, and come at them in front of the balsa tree. Now, in the old first version of the scripture we read in King James, it says the mulberry trees. It has three different types of trees and three different types of translations. It doesn't matter. It's a tree, okay? It shall be that when you hear the sound of marching in the top of the balsa trees, then you shall act promptly. Now, some of you are old-time Pentecostals with me, and I shamefully say that because I'm not an old-time Pentecostal. I'm a today Pentecostal, and I'm as much as Pentecostal today. In fact, I'm more Pentecostal today than I was years before. I had a lot of traditionalism. I had a lot of things that were put in me that was true, and I had some stuff that just looked at the surface of people and things that I don't need because God didn't give me that job to do. I am Pentecostal, and I believe in the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the effects of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Listen to this. They came to that same location. An old time song that we used to sing is, when I hear the rushing in the mulberry bush, then I'll know the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the something day. I don't remember it all, but it's a good song. He said, when you hear the rushing in the top of the balsam trees, then act promptly. For the Lord, look at that. Oh, in mine, look at that. Do you understand what this means? When you see this in the Old Testament, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, this is an inference to the name that was so holy that the scribes wrote the name and then they broke the pen they wrote it with. They took off their clothes and burned them. They took a bath, put on a new robe before they wrote the name Yahweh twice. This is the Yahweh word. YHWY, how do you pronounce that? Lord. Then the Lord, that's the supreme, unquestionable, unchangeable God, will have gone out before you to strike the enemy of the Philistines. Will have gone past presence. When you're in the future, he's already done it for you. He's been in your tomorrow. Your tomorrows are God's todays. Do you believe what I'm telling you? I'm going to give you some proof about this. So David did. He obeyed. What's the greatest two forms of prayer? Listen to me before you say them. The greatest two forms of communicative praise that exist in humanity. You better write this one down. You better get it. If you're watching online, listen to me. The Holy Spirit showed me this, and I could not believe what I was hearing from Him, but I've accepted it. The two greatest forms of praise that a human being can bring to God is trust in His Word and obedience to His Word. Nothing higher. Nothing higher. The devil can't penetrate trust. That means regardless of what artificial intelligence tries to enter your brain. Well, I have a bad past. It's artificial intelligence. You're living now. Well, you don't understand what somebody said. Doesn't matter what somebody said, what the Word of God says. Let me ask you something. If somebody tells you something that's against the very nature of Jesus Christ and the personality of Jesus Christ, it's of the devil, I don't care how righteous they wrap it. Are you listening? God brought His Son here so we could know God. And He was humble. He was lowly. He was forgiving. He made his bed in small, normal little places. He allowed prostitutes to wash His feet. He allowed lepers to touch Him. He allowed the Pharisees, the biggest religious hypocrites in the world, to walk in. And He led two of them that we know of, and millions of probably, but one by the name of Matthew that they call Levi, that they named Matthew, and one by the name of Zacchaeus that they named Matthias. And He put them to work for Him. He obeyed God. So David did so, just as the Lord commanded, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. Boy, if you looked at that on the map, he struck them down from there to the house, all the way there, and destroyed them. Artificial intelligence, or what we're taking as truth from the world today, listen to this word. This is important for you to listen. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. What you're taking as truth from the world today is nothing more, in many cases, than manipulated philosophies. And it's a philosophy against God. Well, I like the educational channel. I do too. Until somebody tells me that this person or this stick or this bone or this piece of stone came from 20 million years ago. That instantly tells me they don't believe in the creation. They don't believe in God. They believe in the X factor. Artificial intelligence. But they're smart. I'm smart too, but not in that way. I'm smart in the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm extremely intelligent. And so are you. Because the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. He doesn't reveal to the wise or the godless. You've got a greater intelligence than you can imagine. It's not artificial, it's real. Taking the truth of the world is nothing more in many cases than manipulated philosophies that are carefully crafted to persuade you to believe a train of thought or an ideology that leads to an antichrist spirit. Well, praise God, I'm not listening to the world. Let me tell you something. If you're self-righteous or you're a gossip, or you're critical in the house of God, you're listening to the voice of hell, not God. Why don't you just say it straight, Pastor? Why don't I? Why don't I do something that'll help us instead of just sugarfoot it? I don't want to be found wrong with God. I want to be right with God. I want to be holy before God. The manipulation of Satan to dilute the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit's power in your life, listen to this, knows no limits, disguises lies as truth, and substitutes revelation of the Holy Spirit with intellectual contemporary logic. God isn't limited to our logic. I declare today, and I'm making this declaration here and online today, I declare today that you cannot find a substitute for the involvement of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Do you hear me? There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It's an insult to the glory of God and the Holy Spirit to reduce Him to a presence or something mystical. The Holy Spirit is God. Genesis 1:2. The Holy Spirit was present at creation. These are scriptures. Psalms 139:7 says the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, and only God can have that character trait. In Isaiah 48:16, He's equal with God, the Father, who sent Jesus to this earth. Wow! That's who the Holy Spirit is. Matthew 12:28, Jesus drove out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit operating in His life. John 14:26, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Romans 8:26 says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness and in our prayers. Romans 8:27 says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prays for us like Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 3:6-17, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's the giver of life and freedom. He enables you to live a holy life. Do you believe this? Galatians 6:15-18 and 25 says that walking in the Spirit is the key to living a victorious life, and He brings spiritual fruit into our lives. There is no substitute, no replacement, nothing better. He supersedes our intelligence and mocks the wisdom of the godless. Our God, through His Spirit, reveals truth and freely gives understanding to anyone who calls on the name of Jesus. He lives and He lives in you. And you in Him. The Holy Spirit puts a sign on the door of your heart that says, "Occupied." Woo! Woo! He puts a sign on your heart that says, "Occupy." You get past the front door, devil. You get past. The only way Satan gets into my heart is if I open that door. But as long as I stay behind the confines and the power and the glory of God, He has a sign on my heart that says, "Occupied by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit." You are His and He is yours. Through Him, every trial becomes a treasure. In every storm, He's the peace speaker. In every valley, there's a mountaintop. In every disappointment, there's a promotion. You can't lose with God, the Holy Spirit, in your life. He wants you to know Him. He already knows and loves you. Okay, now I'm going to read something to you that happened at 1 o'clock this morning. For the last 5 or 6 months, I've been in travail praying for a friend of mine that's gone through a valley of the shadow of death. He's a great author. He's a great preacher on the East Coast. He's preached to tens of hundreds of thousands of people. And the devil has slam dunked him to the point that I was praying, "God, don't let him do something silly. God, don't let him walk away. God, don't let him quit." And at 1 o'clock this morning, I text him not thinking that he was still up because he's an hour ahead of us. There's two there. I called him by name. "I love you," his name. Don't let the devil win in any way or by anyone. I'm telling you this morning. Listen to me. I love you. Don't let the devil win by in any way or by anyone. God uses our valleys, our battles and valleys to make us what He wants us to be. Are you listening? No man can stop that, only us. Don't stop. And here was my return. And I've been praying and praying. Yes and amen. This is that great preacher. I'm starting to have vision for ministry again. Thank you, thank you. Woo. Paul said to Timothy, fan the flame. I want to fan the flame in your life this morning. You say, I'm being silly. I'm not being silly. This is the Holy Spirit of God. I'm fanning the flame in your life right now. God, you take a spark and fan it, and it's going to burst into flame. I'm fanning the flame in your life right now. God knows. I'm starting to have vision for ministry. Thank you, thank you. And forget the niceties. Just listen. You have given me such hope and strength, Romans 5:1-8 especially. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character produces hope. Wow. Suffering produces all of that. Never saw it that way before. There's so many things. I said this. There's so many things you'll gain. I can't begin to tell you, but you'll see them, brother. His message back to me, thank you, my good friend, loyal mentor, and brother. And then he said this, because I fanned a flame in him last night. This is a man that was down, kicked down, beat down by religion. Are you listening to me? By religious people. There's nothing that can hurt you more than religious people. They'll take the starch out of you. Always how good they are and how rotten you are. He said this, preach with love, fire, and compassion. Make them laugh, make them cry, repent, and rejoice tomorrow. I love you, man of God. Yes, I'm preaching on no substitute for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for praying for me. That's powerful, he says. Listen to this now. Here's the flame starting. Here's a man that couldn't even lift his head 6 months ago. The Holy Spirit transforms the ordinary into extraordinary. Somebody say amen. Amen. Natural into supernatural. Chumps into champions. This is his writing. Chumps into champions. Wimps into warriors. Cowards into conquerors. Losers into winners. Quitters into victors. Failures into successors. Come on, somebody. It's time to give God a big shout of praise. I said, I'm quoting that tomorrow in my message. It's time to give God a big shout of praise. This is a man that was put down, beat down, and had nothing to look up to. Ordinary into extraordinary. Natural into supernatural. Chumps into champions. I love that one. Wimps into warriors. Cowards into conquerors. Losers into winners. Quitters into victors. Failures into successors. Come on, somebody. It's time to give God a big shout of praise. And I said, I'm quoting that tomorrow if it's okay. That is so true. You preach it. Don't quote me. It's yours. That's what you've been telling me for the last 5 months, and now I see it. I said, the anointing in you hit me when you wrote those words. And there's no time or distance to the Holy Spirit's anointing. And you've got it. And through you, listen, preach tomorrow, he said. But I told him, you've got, listen, there's people watching me today that's out there. And there's no time or distance to the anointing. And I'm fanning the flame of God. You can't listen to the voice of artificial intelligence. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit in your life. He will give you victory over your situation. He said this, the Holy Spirit forms your ministry. What's wrong? Am I dead? The Holy Spirit transforms your misery into your miracle. This preacher writing this. Pain into your praise. Suffering into your song. Trial into your testimony. And your brokenness into your blessedness. Don't judge my praise until you know my pain. And don't judge my breakthrough until you know where I've been through. Breakthrough. Yes, I feel something happening in my spirit. Let's talk soon. This is me talking. I want to share it with you. Oh, this is him talking. Yes, something's breaking through in my spirit. Let's talk soon with you. You've been a giant in my life. I love you. Listen to this. My God, I said. And I didn't say it. I said, my God, like in worship. I don't say that vulgarly. I said, my God. This is 1 o'clock in the morning. My family's so glad I restrained myself. I'll wake the dead with my praise. Thank you. To scream so loud. I wanted to get up and dance so loud and so hard. Because he was saying to me what I've been saying to him. But he's telling me that what I was giving him wasn't artificial intelligence. He was getting that from the religious world. What I was telling him was from the very power of God through the Holy Spirit of God. And he's saying that's true. There's no time or distance to the anointing. And you've got it in. You've got him in you and through you. I'll preach tomorrow. The Holy Spirit transforms. And then he said those things. Let me see what else I can read. Oh, and he said this. Sam, I'm pastor to you. Is that all right? Thank you. It's not that I'm too big or too good, but we need some honor back in the church again. We need some honor in the house of God. There's no big eyes and little U's, but there needs to be honor in the house of God. All of our pastors aren't, hey, you. They're pastors. Amen? You want leaders? Don't treat them like tramps. You want spiritual leaders? Don't treat them like lightweights. Anointed men and women of God. Call them who they are. He's my buddy. He's in the trenches with me. You got me going. I said, no, I don't have you going. I just stirred up the anointing that's in you. There's no stopping a man that Jesus calls. No walls, no prison bars, no one, nothing. I know the anointing, and your words are words that from God the Holy Spirit. And he went on. Artificial intelligence is anything, listen, that poses itself as religious or righteous. I'm not talking about the world. We know and see the world. I'm talking about in the church. That poses itself as religious or righteous, but doesn't have the character of Jesus Christ. Anything that tries to steal, kill, and destroy your life is of the devil, not of God. I don't believe people have to be demon-possessed to be used by the devil. I've had church beat me up for years. But I'm telling you something. We're living in a day today that we're at the very end of time. The Bible says men will love intelligence more than anything else. They'll shun God for intelligence. Here's what I'm telling you today. There's a truth, and it's not artificial intelligence. It's not the world. It's not the church's idea. It's straight from the Holy Spirit of God. But you have to have a relationship with Him. And He isn't fooled by your addicts. He isn't fooled by your half-heartedness. He isn't fooled by my halfway serving God. He will accept me when I bow my face to Him. He will bring me in and hold me close to Him, and I'll never, ever have to be away from Him. I'm not perfect. You'll never reach perfection. But when your heart is to live a life of holiness, He will assist you in that. He'll keep you there. Artificial intelligence. No substitutions. Stand to your feet with me.